this week on the eBay for Business podcast.
I mean, I think that vacation settings, you know, as you said, a lot of us aren't taking vacations. Maybe we're trying to do staycations right now, but still taking a mental break are super helpful because buyers can still actually see your items and they can actually still purchase. And I follow a lot of sellers on Instagram and I actually see when sellers put their stuff on vacation mode, they've said like, look at all the sales I got while I was gone. And then they get to come back and fulfill it.
During the HIV years, the AIDS years, we lost a lot of friends. And I simultaneously, or more or less in that time while I was grieving those losses, I kind of fell into buying on eBay once I'd seen the magazine, knew it existed. Back in those days, you could go through the entire Converse category. You could search all the Converse search results, all the sneaker search results, all the high top search results, all in a couple of hours. Because now it's like, you can't do that today. There's like 62,000 Converse listings alone.
I'm Rebecca Michaels.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start and run and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 101.
101. We made it past 100.
We did. And now we're on the road to 200.
Absolutely.
One mile at a time.
How are you doing this week, Griff?
I'm very well, thank you. I've had a good week recording and getting ready for future podcasts so that I can look forward to a little vacation myself. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Actually, speaking of vacations, I'm going to be out of town next week, so I'm looking forward to that myself.
Can you tell us where you're going?
I'm going to a small town near Mount Shasta, which is in Northern California, and we're going to be right on the Sacramento River, and I am excited to just look at some trees because, as you know, I live in San Francisco. So I'm looking forward to some fresh air and outdoors with my family.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I am very, very envious.
So again, a belated congrats on your 100th episode last week.
Well, thanks, Rebecca. For those who might not have heard, we, that means Rebecca and myself, announced a contest around our 100th episode 2 episodes ago.
Yeah, we did. And we asked you, our listeners out there, to send in your favorite moment from a past episodes and told you that the first 10 submissions based on date and timestamp would receive a bucket of podcast swag, so to speak.
Yeah, not an actual bucket, although we're looking into getting those branded. So yeah, that's right. That's correct.
So how did the contest go? Did we get those 10 submissions?
We in fact did. We received lots of submissions, both from our hotline and email.
All right. Fess up. How many is lots? Hundreds? Thousands?
Tens.
Tens?
Yes. We received tens and tens of submissions. So by that measure, it was a resounding success.
Excellent. All right. So who are the 10 winners?
Well, that's a great teaser, Rebecca. And we're going to actually announce the first 10 at the end of the episode. That way we can keep you listening. We'll also read and listen to their submissions as they came in. So stay tuned.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. So should we tell our listeners who's on deck for episode 101?
Absolutely. First up this week, we have our seller success segment with our guest from eBay Communications, Melissa Ojeda. Melissa and I are going to talk about the importance of taking time from your business, even during a pandemic, by utilizing eBay's vacation settings for your store.
And then we'll meet our next seller in the 25 Seller Stories project. She's a well-known among many eBay sellers who have attended eBay events in the past and who have listened to the old eBay radio show. Betsy Bolger, a.k.a. eBetsy, will share her story with us.
And lastly, as promised, we'll read the submissions from the 10 winners in our podcast 100th episode contest.
First up, vacation settings.
One of the downsides of a pandemic, and of course there are many, is the inability to travel, especially for taking well-earned vacation time. Since many sellers, for example, are pretty much staying close to home and business right now, taking some time off is most likely not top of mind. But just because 2020 has thrown some really strange curveballs our way, it doesn't mean that as business owners and business managers, we shouldn't take time off to relax, restore, and recharge. So that's our theme for this week as it folds up to summer success, is that a lot of success depends on your ability to manage your time, and that means taking some time off as well, even if it's not that easy to do. And joining us is the Senior Manager of Communications, Melissa Ojeda. Melissa, welcome.
Thanks, Griff. Thanks for having me. Hi, sellers.
And what I wanted to talk about is a subject near and dear to my heart. And that's vacation settings. They've been around for a long time. They're actually a legacy tool on eBay. They really haven't been updated, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But how does a seller view the vacation settings as a way of putting their business on pause?
Yeah, I mean, I think that vacation settings, you know, as you said, a lot of us aren't taking vacations. Maybe we're trying to do staycations right now, but still taking a mental break are super helpful because buyers can still actually see your items and they can actually still purchase. And I follow a lot of sellers on Instagram, and I actually see when sellers put their stuff on vacation mode, they've said like, look at all the sales I got while I was gone, and then they get to come back and fulfill it. But it's really easy to do. You can set it up the day you're going. You can put a timeframe on it. You can even put an out of office message so that way you don't have to do communications through the messaging system. Or of course, you know, if you have employees or friends or family that are helping, you can also use multi-user account access. So I think there's many options our sellers have, but vacation mode or vacation setting, I've used it a few times and it's been really great to just kind of take that break, but know that when I come back, you know, I definitely jump right back into packing and then sourcing and getting my listings up.
All right, and there's different options that a seller can use. And first and foremost, I want to point people to how you find the vacation settings. Number one, you have to have a store. It's not available if you're not a store subscriber. And you just go to your Manage My Store page, the link of which is on your store front homepage itself, usually up in the upper right-hand corner. And then when you get to the page from there, you'll see on the left-hand side a navigation bar, which, please pardon us, but the graphics for that page are at least 20 years old. I'm sorry. I'm sure we're going to update it soon. If you go down to the bottom of that page on the left, you'll see a setting for vacation setting, and that'll take you in there. And then tell us what the different options are.
With vacation mode, you can change your settings. Like you said, you can turn them on or off. You can also show people the date that you're going to be back. So a buyer can actually, when they look at your item, it will say at the top, this seller is currently in vacation mode, I think is the actual wording. Yes. And then
it says it's your way. The seller is
your way. Yeah. And then it'll give them a date that you're back. So then that way they know if they purchase it, they're not going to hopefully send you an email the next day saying, hey, did you ship my item? When's it coming?
Yeah.
You also can choose your out of office. So I think people sometimes don't think of an out of office email as something for an eBay seller, but you can actually turn on an out of office email. And that way you can write, hi, you know, I'm going to be slow to respond because I'm on vacation. Here are the dates. Please let me know if you have any questions about my items, whatever kind of message you want to put. And you can choose your start and stop date for that. And then when you go to vacation settings, you just turn it on. And it's the same thing, kind of your message that people will see. You can let them know the date that you'll be back, or we automatically give you that option to put that date in yourself. And then you can actually choose it. If you want people to buy from your fixed price listings, so your auctions will be turned off, your fixed price listings will still show that you're on vacation. And then actually, it looks like your option style listings will run as scheduled.
You can have them either be hidden. They don't close, but you can't find them. If a buyer has your one of your fixed price listings on their watch list or they've bookmarked it, if they try to purchase it, it says that you can't purchase this item till the seller is back. And that's for sellers who don't want to change their handling time. They may be using the confusion's always been that if you just put the message up, but you don't hide your listings and you have one day handling, that's going to mess up your performance metrics, because if you're going to be gone for a week, you can't ship for a week. So if you want to keep making those sales, you can change all of your listing shipping policies to a new policy that you've created just for vacation that says handling time is 7 days if you're going to be away for a week.
Exactly.
But that's an important distinction, because just putting the message up is not going to protect your metrics if you don't change your handling time. So then there's a decision here, right? So a seller has to make a decision. Okay, do I want to go through the trouble of keeping the listings up, putting a new handling time on them so I make all the sales I can while I'm away? Or do I just want to hide the listings? Those are two out of three possible vacation options. The third one is what we're going to talk about next week, is using the multi-user access tool.
MUAA.
MUAA, or what we like to refer to as
Exactly.
So those are really important to make sure you've got that distinction so that you don't end up putting your performance metrics in jeopardy. A lot of sellers I talk to, they use this tool. They don't change the handling time. They'll hide their fixed price listings. And like you say, if you have any auctions that are running, they're going to continue running. So you want to, if you're using auctions, that your vacation time is going to be sometime after all the auctions end so you can fulfill them. Or if you have 7 day auctions running and you're going away for 7 days, you don't have to worry about that because you'll be back to fulfill them when they all close.
Exactly.
At the beginning of the interview, I intimated that this is an old feature that really hasn't been touched very much on the eBay end. Can that change?
Yeah, I mean, I think the team is looking at a lot of smaller things, smaller fixes that are for both sellers and buyers to update. And I think this is maybe on the list for the next few weeks. So hopefully we'll have an update on vacation settings soon.
And if we do have an update, would you be so kind as to come back and talk about them with us?
Yeah, I don't know, you know, if by the time they're out, if I'll be taking a vacation or be able to use them, but maybe I'll just try it out for a staycation at home. Maybe I can barter with my boss. Hey, this new thing came out and maybe I should get a vacation too.
Well, if you didn't just recently take a vacation, aren't you due one because you've just had a special life event?
Well, I was supposed to get married in May, but due to COVID, we had to move our date to late next year. And so we decided to elope in a small family only ceremony on 4th of July, which is our anniversary. So yeah, it's kind of hard though. Like it's weird having not only a wedding during COVID, but also like you can't really take a honeymoon. Like, you know, we went up the coast and did some wine tasting and went to Bodega Bay. But, you know, it's kind of weird to go places because is it okay? Is it safe? All those things kind of crossed our mind. Yeah. Lots of outdoor activities in Bodega Bay. If you haven't been before, it was gorgeous up there. Like, oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever been. So.
And Bodega Bay is very famous for one particular movie. Do you know?
Yes, I do. Because my husband made me watch it last weekend. The Alfred Hitchcock, the Birds movie. Yeah, it is very famous for that. There's even a restaurant that's still there today that was in the movie.
Yeah, that's amazing. So sellers, if you take a cue from Melissa, even during something as serious as a pandemic, which has definitely cut down, at least traveling outside of the U.S. is now almost impossible. But even traveling within the U.S. has its own risks. Is there are inventive ways of taking time off from your business, even if it means you're having a staycation in the backyard? Because half a vacation or a lot of part of a vacation is that separation in your mind. So that you're not worrying about your business, you're not thinking about business, you're actually focusing on something else for a period of, even if it's just a few days or a week, mm-hmm. It can make a big difference in how you rest and recharge and then come back to your business. So even though it's not the ideal time to take a traditional vacation, utilize vacation settings to help you plan out, even if it's just taking a few days where you take days off. Because, you know, we as sellers, we don't tend to do this. We tend to work 7 days a week, and that's just crazy.
And it's the perfect time to take a vacation too, or at least use the vacation settings and do a staycation because holiday is going to be around the corner. And we all know how sellers bless their butts during this time. It's going to be busy for sourcing. It's going to be busy for filling orders. So, you know, no better time than the present, even, you know, like you said, Griff, to just kind of hang out, separate your mind, recharge, maybe read a book or two or watch The Birds on Netflix. I don't know if it's on Netflix, to be real. I think we watched it on a DVD.
DVD on eBay.
Right. Yes, there you go.
These are all important aspects of taking some time off. And also to your point, Melissa, next month's theme is going to be preparing for holidays. I know it's August, mm-hmm. but if you're a serious business person, you got to start preparing towards the end of the summer for what's coming up for holidays. And the predictions for this year, by the way, are actually pretty interesting. They're predicting a stronger than ever online holiday retail experience. So I think we all have to be ready for that.
That doesn't surprise me, maybe because, you know, I work at eBay and we're seeing not only buyers, but new buyers come. I counted it the other day. You know, they give you the 90-day order update in your orders tab on Seller Hub. And I think I had 25 sellers that had purchased with me from the last 90 days with 5 feedback or less.
Wow.
So a lot of 0 feedback buyers, like I'm not scared of them. I hope, you know, I want to bring them onto the platform, give them the best experience so they keep coming back. But I was actually shocked at how many had actually come, you know, onto the platform. And it's great to see. It's really exciting to bring new people on. And hopefully maybe, you know, they'll switch to the side of sellers too and be a little competition with us. But also, you know, just want to get them what they want.
So you got to prepare for that. So look forward in the next month. We're going to talk about getting ready for holidays. One of the things we'll talk about before this month is over, when I'm talking about summer success and taking vacations, is going to be the multi-user access feature that is now available to sellers. to help divvy up tasks so that if you do want to take a week or two off, but you want to keep your business running and you don't want to change your handling time, if you've got the resources of friends or family that you trust, you can actually assign duties to them using this tool without compromising your actual account access so that you can keep the most sensitive information on eBay away from them. But this week, we had the pleasure of talking to Melissa Ojeda about vacation settings. And by the way, congratulations on your online wedding, I suppose.
And
you're eloping. And I'm sure that within a year, you'll get a chance to have the real event and take a well-earned honeymoon.
Thank you. Thank you, Griff.
We've been talking with Melissa Ojeda. Melissa is the Senior Manager of Communications here at eBay. We've been talking about vacation settings. Continuing with our mini-series, 25 Seller Stories for 25 Years of eBay, our next seller who was selected, and right up front, I am not part of the selection process, but they knew when they read this story it was going to be a good one. So almost doesn't need any introduction, this next seller, except I'm still going to give her the introduction because I think she deserves it. She's been on eBay for a long time. Please welcome eBay seller and eBay radio celebrity from the old days of old, Betsy Bolger, known as E-Betsy. Hi, E-Betsy.
Hi, Griff. Nice to be back on the air with you.
So congratulations on being selected, having your story selected as one of the 25 seller stories.
Thank you. It's very thrilling, but do you have to keep using the word old?
All right. Do you want me to go and edit it out? I can leave it in.
No. Just back in the day will do.
I won't say old. I'll just say seasoned. How's that?
I like to say we're ageless.
Okay.
Or something like that. All right. At least a lady never reveals hers.
Yes, we never do. So anyway, welcome to the podcast. So we just assume that we know each other, but that's not fair. That's not a fun interview. People want to hear more about you. How long have you been selling on eBay?
I came on as a buyer in 2000 and I sold my first item to earn my eBay Champ eBay badge in 2004, right before eBay Live.
That was New Orleans, if I remember correctly.
It certainly was.
You live in Texas, so you came over from Texas to New Orleans, and that's, I think, the first time we met as well.
Well, that's the first time we met in person, but we had been emailing because I was your first student in the online version of eBay University.
All right. Yes.
Yes. So I had begun peppering you with emails and stupid questions and newbie concerns.
Okay. So before you showed up on eBay, before you started using eBay, what were you doing in your life?
I was actually a horse trainer and freelance journalist and professional equestrian.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I rode all my life starting at the age of 3 and started competing at the age of 6. Then right after I got out of college, I'll say the date 1980, I got married and moved to Dallas. I got a job here with a magazine, a very nice magazine called Texas Homes, kind of like Architectural Digest, but all about Texas. I wrote a freelance piece for the Chronicle of the Horse. Someone tracked down my phone number because we had phone books back in the day. And called me and asked if I would come and teach her daughter and herself some riding lessons. And the next thing you know, I had this side hustle going, as we would now call it. And pretty soon it became obvious it was time to flip the hustle, do the horses full time and freelance the journalism. So I did this until about 1994. I had Dark Horse Enterprises and we had some great success. We had a couple of world champions, a couple of national champions, a bunch of local champions. I'm very proud of those days. Then I got married a second time and decided that it was time to come off the road.
Okay. When you come off the road, that's kind of like abandoning a career, I assume.
Well, it meant scaling back to only training a couple of local horses and riding young horses for a couple of local people. My husband was diagnosed in 1987 with HIV, and at the time, we got married in 1994, you know, it was uncertain as to how long we would have together, and I just didn't want to be on the road every weekend going to horse shows. I wanted to spend time with my sweetie.
And we should mention that your husband, John, who is a fixture with you at eBay events, is still alive and kicking and with us today.
And more healthy than ever with 675 T cells, normal being in between 500 and 1,000. I'm very proud of him.
That's fantastic. That's great news. All right. So you've gone off the road. You're spending more time at home. What happens next?
Well, what happens next is John brings home a copy of eBay magazine. I say, what is this thing you call eBay?
Well, there were quite a few years between 1994 and the magazine, which I believe launched in 99 or 2000.
Well, in between, I was riding the aforesaid local horses and, you know, a couple of green horses locally and, you know, just doing a little coaching privately and, you know, being a housewife. if you can picture that. Personally, I think housework is evil and should be stopped. Right. But
wait, were you a collector before you got that, before John brought that magazine home?
Well, that's right. I sort of was. Yes. I collected family heirlooms like vintage linens and blue and white china, porcelain and Toby mugs and just a few little select categories. Yes.
You're well known for collecting Converse sneakers. When did that start?
Well, also during the years from 19, actually start from the 80s on, I spent a lot of my time out dancing. And because I mostly went to the gay bars, I basically took my dress cues from those around me. So I was always out in my 501s, my Levi's 501s and my Converse high tops. I was 23 years old and living in Dallas before I was informed that there were gay bars versus straight bars. I just went to the bars for the horse shows from the time I was 15 on and went dancing with my friends and just kind of assumed that all boys, all bars had cute boys in satin shorts and no shirts behind the bar.
Oh, Betsy. So that's where your interest in Converse high tops started. But then you kind of fell into it a little bit more.
Well, during the HIV years, the AIDS years, we lost a lot of friends. And I simultaneously, or more or less in that time while I was grieving those losses, I kind of fell into buying on eBay once I'd seen the magazine, knew it existed.
Yeah.
And back in those days, you could go through the entire Converse category. You could search all the Converse search results, all the sneaker search results, all the high top search results, all in a couple of hours.
Sure. Yeah.
Can't do that today. There's like 62,000 Converse listings alone.
Well, you say you can, but I know for a fact that you probably do. It just takes longer.
No, I've learned to cherry pick and I don't have all day to spend on it because I'm busy listing and selling and shipping.
That's true.
But anyway, I started finding some pretty groovy Converse and then the selling thing happened and I became, thoughtful about what can we sell? And there were these Converse outlets and they were kind of on the way to a couple of places I used to go out dancing. So the next step, of course, was to start buying them out. This actually turned out to be a really good idea because Converse moved their manufacturing offshore a couple of years later. And come to find out, Made in USA Converse Chuck Taylor All-Stars are hot, hot, hot.
Hot. They're even hotter today. How big is your collection? I know you have a collection.
I thought you were going to ask how big are my feet.
No, I won't ask you that. Okay, how big are your feet? No, you don't have to tell us. But how big is your collection?
Do you mean if the shoes I actually wear, the shoes that I got for John as a sub-collection of my own, or the overall inventory that we possess?
You can give us whatever dimensions of your collection you think we'll find interesting. Hint, a little coaching. I think we'll find it all interesting.
Well, let's say that the collection is enough inventory that I'll probably never have to acquire more because I also have a lot of Converse memorabilia. In addition to the contents of the outlet stores, I bought a lot of really, truly vintage 1950s Converse and some other vintage sneakers, which also sell very well.
Yeah.
My husband has enough shoes that he will never wear them out in this lifetime. And I personally would put Imelda to shame.
Well, I was thinking I could give you a battle for that contest, but I don't think I can. It sounds like you've got it covered.
Well, you had a pretty great pair of Converse high tops back in the day, as I recall yourself. Weren't they LeMay?
Yes, I did. I was still living in Vermont. It was the 80s, and a local shoe store put out in their window these gold LeMay Converse, and no one would buy them. And I said, but I will. And I did wear them a few times. The problem for me with Converse is that I have very low arches, and they offer little or no support. So I had to stop wearing mine. But I wish I still had those gold LeMay. I don't know what happened with them.
I do know you were sent a replacement pair a few years back.
Thank you.
I believe they were. Yes, I was very glad to find those and instantly glommed onto them.
And they're upstairs and in my hoard.
Well, better low arches than low standards, right?
Yeah. Well, what if you have both? Anyway, so what's the most expensive or the most valuable item in your Converse collection, something you're most proud of?
Well, my personal favorite hangs on the back of my front door, and these are actually they predate Chuck Taylor. They are red silk high top women's basketball shoes. And they are small enough you can hang them from your rearview mirror. And they are just the daintiest little things imaginable. And I love to picture these women, pounding the floor with their basketballs and up and down and running and jumping in these wonderful silk high tops.
Those sound amazing. I wonder how much they would be worth on the open market, he asked.
I don't really know how much they would be worth on the open market, but I paid, I think, under $100 for them.
Oh, it sounds like it was a real steal.
But the most expensive pair I ever bought, I didn't really expect them to go almost to my max bid. and I bid one of my magic numbers, and let's just say it was over 700, and they came out at 679. For a pattern that had a beach umbrella and a beach ball and a kind of an outline of a beach behind it. And I ended up reselling them for $750 to the curator of the Converse Museum.
You're not the only museum. There's actual Converse Museum itself.
I am the Shoeseum. They are the museum.
The Shoeseum, exactly. Do you have any idea? I asked you before, but we skirted around the number. Do you have any idea, given every shoe in your house that's Converse, how many you might have?
I have a couple of thousand Converse. Jeez. Yes, probably about 2,500 pairs. And that's counting the inventory, which is extensive. But I myself probably have, you think about 300 pairs? John's nodding his head and moving his thumb up and holding up five fingers. So I guess I have more than 300 pairs.
That means 500.
Let's say around 500. But you know what? It's given me my chance to be in showbiz because I used to work some part-time at Christmas at this little American craft gallery and gift shop around the corner from my house where I had been shopping for years and years. A woman came in one day who happens to be an independent filmmaker I really admire. And I had never seen her, you know, in person before, but I was introduced to her by the owner of the store. And she said to the owner, well, I've come to talk to you today because I'm making a documentary about women's obsession with shoes. Do you know anyone that would be suitable? Of course, I'm like jumping up and down behind the owner. Pick me. So I am featured in the upcoming documentary, Soul Sisters, being produced by Cynthia Salzman Mundell. She recently had one of her films appear again on PBS, Sisters of 77, about the women's convention trying to get the ERA signed back in the 70s. Yeah. Yeah, she's a very, very distinguished independent filmmaker. And being in the Soul Sisters documentary gave me the opportunity to present Lily Tomlin with a custom-made pair of Chuck Taylors.
You're joking. Lily Tomlin a pair of shoes?
Design, make, you know, handcraft, and present. Yes. We saw Lily in concert. And as we left the Bass, it was in Florida, Fort Worth, at the Bass Auditorium there. And we were following these people out of the auditorium. And they went around the corner and into what was obviously the stage door. I said to John, come on. So we just kind of walked on in like we knew what we were doing. And there came a little break in the crowd as she's kind of doing a receiving line sort of thing. And she looks over and catches my eye and says, you look so familiar. Have we met? How often do you get an intro line like that?
That's a pretty good one. Yeah.
Why, no, Ms. Tomlin, we have not, but we do have a director in common. And she said, oh, really? And I said, yes, Cynthia Salzman Mundell has asked me to convey her greetings to you. And oh, I love Cynthia. What is she doing now? I said, well, she wanted me to tell you that the movie she made with you, Funny Women, now has its own theater at the Dallas Women's Museum. And and what's her current project? Well, she's working on a documentary called Soul Sisters and yada, yada. And she said, oh, and I love Converse high top. I said, we'll make you a pair. So then she came to Dallas about maybe 6 months later, I think it was. It was fairly soon. And by that time, I had gone on her website and she had one full page of characters. One side was all the characters from Intelligent Life of the Universe. And the other side was little cartoons of all of her other characters. So I printed it out, cut out all the little characters, put Intelligent Life characters on one shoe, the other characters on the other shoe. And then I used for the side opposite the ankle patch on each ankle, I put a little picture of her with her lover with the triangle of flame behind them with her partner. And they came out really well. And so we went with Cynthia came with us to the concert and we went to the show and we went to the after party and we filmed a presentation there. It's very fun.
So it's actually in the documentary.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I can't wait to see this. You will let us all know when it comes out, right?
Not only that, but Cynthia produced a short play from this documentary. She's done all these side projects have come of this documentary. And the play was presented at a little theater locally. And in it, I was waiting for my character. She's told me that you're in advance. You need to come see this. Your story is featured. So I'm waiting for my character to emerge. And sure enough, one of the characters at one point is describing how, you know, she was missing her friends and bought all these Converse shoes so that she could follow in their, you know, was reminded of their footsteps on the dance floor by all these Converse shoes. And, you know, she kind of recovered from that phase of her life. And it turned out well because she says, now I'm selling them all on eBay.
I'm so glad you brought the story around eBay because, you know, when you and I get to talking, we'll get so off topic, and it is supposed to be about eBay.
And off topic and off the rails, off the chain.
Well,
all about eBay.
I know.
The 25th anniversary, which I'm very honored to be a part of.
Well, I'm green with envy that you actually got to meet and talk to and present a pair of shoes to one of my life heroes. I saw the premiere of Intelligent Life in the Universe back in the 80s. I didn't know we had got tickets to the premiere, and I remember that night forever because, well, it was an extraordinary performance. You swear there were five or six people on that stage, and it was just Lily Tomlin. It was mind-bending. But it was the premiere, and I sat between Angela Lansbury and Valerie and Simpson and Nick Ashford.
Oh, my gosh. How did you sit between three people?
Well, they were sitting on one side. You know, Nick Ashford was a very bit tall man. And
I thought perhaps you were beside yourself.
Well, I was beside myself. I was starstruck. I couldn't believe it. And during the intermission, before we stood up, we all were chatting about how wonderful the show was. And then in the end, you know, there's the soundtrack has Ain't No Mountain High Enough. And I turned and I looked at Valerie Simpson, who was the composer of that song. And I said, now I know why you're here. And she laughed. You're here to collect royalties.
You want to make sure that that song, that you get your royalties off that song.
Right. It is a great performance. Well, so this has been quite a journey, and eBay has been part of it as a place where you can cull your collection and sell as inventory and then pick up other bits of Converse for your collection. But I know for a fact, and I would love for you to talk about, that the other collection you happen to have is you own a few pieces of eBay swag over the years.
Ah, better than eBay swag, darling. We've elevated it to the term eBayana. It has eBayana. Its own category on eBay and on eBay Germany.
Yes. How big is that collection, eBetsy?
Oh, that's very... Every pair of Converse shoes I have, I probably have at least two or three pieces of eBayana, thanks in part to yourself. And did have a lot of competition from Cito, also known as Echo Xmas, who became my best friend on eBay after we discovered we were bidding against each other and got to meet up.
And Carol, that's Carolyn Jacinto.
Yes.
And you both actually worked together on eBay Radio, if I remember correctly.
We did, and we loved every minute of it. And we are best buddies.
Yeah, Carolyn's terrific. So here we are. We're years later. I remember when I met you in New Orleans face to face. And you attended, if I remember correctly, you attended every single eBay Live.
Once I discovered it, I certainly did. And my husband said, when I got back the first year, he said, I'm never letting you go to that by yourself again. I'm going with you next year. Well, that was the year that smart man. I can't believe he let me go to the first one alone because I was totally overwhelmed by the eBay. Totally. Mm. So the next year, he comes with me to San Jose for the 10th anniversary celebration.
Right.
And eBay Live. And he proceeds to be totally overwhelmed by the eBay. I didn't see him for 2.5 days. And it was a 3-day event.
Well, everyone could pick you out from the crowd because you used to do at the events, you used to do something with your do that made you stand out from the crowd. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Used to do. I am thrilled that I'm mixed emotions. I was thinking, I won't have to do that this year. But every year since 2005, and I will be doing it again this year for the 25th anniversary, which does seem fitting, I have done my hair in the eBay colors for the eBay event. And I've done it every year in a different pattern.
And the three colors, the four colors are the red, blue, green, and yellow.
No, that would be red, blue, yellow, and green. You must put them in the correct order.
I am so sorry. Please forgive me.
We started off doing the whole top of my head for 2005. And when John woke up next to me in the morning, he screamed.
Oh, dear.
Involuntarily.
So now, yeah, you'll be doing this again for this year because you've been picked for the 25, one of the 25 slots. And you will be, if you haven't done it already, there will be a video produced and there'll be photos. So you'll be able to show off your eBay do once again.
I have begun consultations with my hairdresser already because I was told, yes, there would be visuals. And may I just say again, I am so thrilled to be a part of this whole 25 seller and 25th anniversary thing.
Well, I think of the many people we know that the stories that you could tell us would be endless. I know that one of your other endeavors was the one you mentioned towards the beginning of our interview conversation today, and that was the one about education specialists. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was?
Oh, that was a fabulous program. I jumped right in it with both feet. The education specialists was a program started by eBay to enable sellers to learn to teach eBay and to have a certified title to be officially approved to do so, to bring new sellers into the fold. The really prolific eBay education specialists, such as the aforementioned Carolyn C.J. Jacinto, she taught over 1,000 new sellers. That's a lot of new sellers. I taught a couple of dozen, several dozen over the years, and it was always so thrilling. We had an approved curricula, and curriculum, and you could do it basically almost anywhere as long as you did it in person and not online. And I even taught at a storage facility at one point because I was in there getting my storage set up, and some other people came in and they heard me mention eBay to the clerk, and they said, "Oh yeah, we've got some stuff we'd like to sell on eBay." I said, "I can teach you how to do that." And we had classes at the storage unit. I signed up four other people for them.
How long?
Putting a note on their bulletin board.
And how long did you end up doing that?
I did that through the entire life of the program. It was a great ride. It was really, really fun to teach other people to use eBay.
Do you still teach now? The program, of course, was sunsetted a few years back, but do you still teach?
I do, as the occasion arises. A lot of times people will come to me and ask me about doing consignment, and while Texana's All Store, I worked my store name in there. Texana's All Store does accept and list select consignment items. A lot of times it's better that I just tell them how to do it themselves. So I teach them, via the phone first, the mobile app, and then I kind of ease them onto the desktop. So it's been very nice since the mobile app has gotten so good with photographs. It's very easy for them.
Well, I have to say that I've stopped using my camera. You know, I was an instructor for years, and I was always pointing out, the best cameras to use. And for years, I kind of avoided using a cell phone as a camera because they were kind of subpar, you know? But
right, very much so.
I only use I have an Android Samsung Note, and that's all I use for photos, and it works like a charm. So life has really changed.
Now, cell phone photos have gotten so excellent. Yes, it's been a game changer, definitely. And the photo tools afforded by the app, especially the remove background tool, I mean, that's a great tool.
Yeah, it is.
I've even started taking the photos, like for our jigsaw puzzles and the Converse. I'll take the photos and on the phone and upload them to the listing through the mobile app, and then I go in on the desktop and do the description, et cetera.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's actually becomes a lot easier, I think, to put listings up.
I'm amazed by the number of sellers that don't bother to crop and rotate their photos. Crop, rotate, brighten. I mean, remove the background. What can't you do while uploading through eBay anymore?
So my experience has taught me that it's not that people aren't capable. I think a lot of sellers are just afraid of venturing into the area of photography because they either believe that they are not capable of doing it, or that they don't trust their eye, or they've been told, "Well, you're not much of a photographer." And that's always been such a sad thing to hear, because I don't think there's a seller in the world who can't pick up this skill. It really is not difficult.
I am here to tell you, I am living proof. John was doing our photographs, and I still have to use a camera for the jewelry photographs for my client account of the Acquisitory because of the necessity of using the macro lens. However, when my husband became very ill, about halfway or a third of the way or a quarter of the way, somewhere around early 2016, he lost his ability to take our photos, among other things. And I had to jump in. And I was very hesitant. You would have thought I was approaching dynamite the gingerly way I picked up that camera the first time. But it is not rocket science. Really, anyone can do it. It's basically point and shoot anymore, and know where your macro setting is if you're doing extreme close-up. But with the eBay photo tools, it's just so gosh darn easy. You don't need to use Photoshop or anything.
You really don't. And it's become so much easier than it was, that I think there are a lot of sellers, again, in my experience, they had that first run-in with trying to take pictures of their products way back in the days when it was really a difficult thing to do right. And they've never lost that fear. So I think we still, you and I and everyone else who likes to teach other people how to be successful as online sellers, I still enjoy showing people today now how easy it is. And you just have to trust your eye. The bit of advice I've always given is, if you look at your resulting photographs and they don't look good to you, just try again. You're the best judge.
I have to add a little caveat to that, because I think some people think they do look fine because they're posting them by the dozen, that's for sure. But really, you don't have to be Andy Leibovitz, because I think they're not really making the effort. They don't think they can do it. Like you say, they're intimidated. But the thing is, here's what you basically need. You need a nice glamour shot, a picture of the item, sort of, usually a three-quarter sort of view on a flattering angle. Then you need the front and the back, the side, the other side, the bottom, close-ups of any flaws, close-ups of any hallmarks, and maybe put it with a ruler or a dime or a can of Coke or whatever your little easy to guide. There's something that gives people an idea of the dimensions. Yep. Then put your photos in the order that tells the story of your item. Your glamour shot first, then you front, back, side, close-up. sized picture, Hallmark, end with a picture of that's like the glamour shot and that it's a flattering angle so that the last thing that people have on burned into their retinas is the picture of your entire item.
Exactly.
And there you have it.
That's a very good bit of advice.
Well, it should be as if they're turning it over in their hands because they're having to buy it just on the visuals. So make your visuals as appealing as you can.
Yeah. And if you want to learn more, you can always just ask eBetsy. Just go to her store and ask her to teach you. And she won't charge you too much.
You can tune into the podcast. You can tune into the eBay for Business podcast and learn all kinds of useful tips from all of the guests.
I love a log rolling plug. I plug you. You plug me. We're all happy. You mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you were once an equestrian rider, so you were very familiar with horses, and you don't do that much anymore, I believe, but you're still connected to animals and performance. Tell us a little bit about this, because I see it on Facebook all the time.
Well, this is actually kind of funny. I was teaching a summer camp, and I came into camp one day, and it was raining, and I was like, oh, no problem. I'll help the kids ride in the indoor arena. Well, there were all these little jumps and these weird things in the arena. I said to the owner of the stable, I said, but I need, what's going on in the arena? And she's like, oh, I forgot to tell you, I rented it to the dog agility people. I was like, what's that? Oh, it's this new dog sport where you run an obstacle course with your dog. Well, fast forward to, let's just say I was considerably older when I adopted this very shy little girlie from the shelter, local shelter, the SPCA of Texas. And I took her home and I said, I'm going to make you brave. And she started coming out of her shell, and she was very naturally leapy and twirler. I tell everyone she's a leap and twirler because she likes to leap and twirl. And she loved to run fast, and she loved to jump over things. And I thought, I bet she'd like agility. And I kind of like to try agility. So again, fast forward, we are now competing in the master's level. And I've got a second dog who just achieved master's in two venues, AKC and USDAA. We are qualified for our second Spinal Sport World Games for this year, and assuming we actually have them. And we are also qualified for the AKC Nationals in 2021. And we are having a blast. It is the most fun thing ever, next to riding, of course.
Now, if people want to see you or learn more about your endeavors, both with the dog agility contests and just eBay in general, where can they go? Let's start with what you're willing to give us for information. Do you give out your Facebook or Instagram accounts?
Oh, I have to, because we're actually on there. We're actually on Facebook under my husband and I wanted a joint page, and it was early on. So we're on there under our two eBay IDs, eBetsy Manjot. That has really confused people over the years. Yes, eBetsy, which is my ID, and then our joint ID, which is Manjot, which is a spoonerism of my husband's name, John Mott. You switch the first letters.
Manjot, yes, of course. And we'll put that link to your Facebook page in our transcript.
We also have the business page, Texana's All Store. And that is our store name on eBay. And we, of course, have the redirect URL, texanasallstore.com, TexaNNAS, no apostrophe, ALL store.com. And that takes you directly to our eBay store.
Where we can find maybe some Converse?
Most likely. And you can find some really cool vintage Springbok jigsaw puzzles. And you can find some select consignment items. And you can find a whole Teddy the Dog merchandise, because we recently became wholesale partners and retailers for Teddy the Dog merchandise, and it was pretty much the smartest move I could possibly have made for our store.
You're selling a lot of that merchandise, I assume.
Well, and the thing is, the Converse, we were top-rated sellers before my husband got sick, and then I had to put our eBay store on vacation for about a year and a half. And ramping back up, we lack only the volume to make top-rated seller again. But when you list things one at a time and they sell and they're gone, you have to keep listing like a demon to keep up with it. And our Converse sell like the proverbial hotcakes. So by adding Teddy the Dog as our wholesale line, I can create a listing and list 10 items in a multi-quantity, multi-variation listing. I get a boost in search every time something sells. And I'm well-equipped to continue building my inventory. I'm filling my store shelves. And it's wonderful. It's so much easier. It's how you scale. You can't scale one-on-one past a certain point.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot, I think a lot of sellers are discovering that. So thank you for that word of encouragement. eBetsy, I always ask this question. It's the one question that I try to get in for all of our seller stories. And we've got about 22 more to go, 21. A new seller comes up to you either at your place of business, at your home, on the street. They recognize you because of the hair. They say, oh, that's that eBetsy. I have a question to ask her. And they say, I've never sold on eBay before, but I really could use the extra cash and who knows, maybe do it on a part-time or full-time basis as a business. What bit of advice would you give to start off?
I think most important advice would be plan on putting your customer first, your customer's happiness first. And then learn to think like that customer and then turn yourself loose. You should buy a few things first, get a feel for how the site works. Then you should find something to sell that you're not terribly attached to and that's not terribly expensive and it's easy to ship. My first item was a gimme cap I found by the side of the road because I'd gotten the self-same advice from you, Griffin, at eBay University. I found a gimme cap and it had this very artistic looking tire track directly across the middle of it. I cleaned the rest of it as per eBay standards, careful to leave the tire track intact. And I sold it. It got two bids and went to a guy in Australia who bought it because he loved the tire track so much. And on the front of it, it said, "I'm smiling like this because I don't know what I'm doing," which was pretty much where I was at when I posted this at 4 o'clock in the morning as I'm getting ready to catch my 6:30 flight to New Orleans for eBay Live.
What did it sell for? Do you remember?
$1.29, two bids, but I was thrilled to pieces, and they paid for the shipping.
Right, so you made $1.29 from a piece of a hat on the side of the road,
minus the fees, of course. But who's counting? I mean, it was my first sale. That was the big thing for me. I mean, I probably would have paid them to have it go to Australia, except for the fact that they paid me. It was like I could do this. Oh my gosh! Because when I was at eBay Live 2004. I was terribly impressed by all of the sellers and how I just thought these are like totally the cool kids. I want to be one. They were just so passionate about what they were doing. They clearly loved it. It was clearly something they enjoyed. And they were so generous in sharing their expertise with each other. I was like, oh, these are the people I want to be part of. This is my tribe. I want to be part of this tribe.
Yeah, it's a great tribe. E-Betsy, we're just about out of time. I got to tell you, this was a really fun interview, as I knew it would be because of the guest and, of course, everything that you could share about your life with us. I think there was so much more that you can say, but we're going to hold that off for another interview. And I want to thank you again for not only submitting your story, but for being such a, you know, I don't like to use the word because it does have a connotation, but an eBay booster, if not a cheerleader, because you know and I know that we're simpatico on that and that even through the rough times, eBay's been such a big part of our lives and the big part of a lot of people's lives. And for some of us, it's made a difference between life and death as well. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story.
That's true.
Yeah. Continued success to you.
Thank
you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Can I just give one quick plug for what I think every eBayer will do because it gave me a sense of what makes me love eBay so much?
Yes, please.
And that is to read The Perfect Store by Adam Cohen. It will totally give you the sense of the soul of eBay. And that is what sets eBay apart from all other e-commerce sites and always will.
And I'll put the link to that. I'll put them. You know, I have to admit, Adam Cohen, who wrote that book, actually did capture those early days of eBay better than anyone ever could. So I still recommend the book to anyone who's interested in the history of eBay.
This is why I love eBay so much. And it's being a part of something larger than yourself. It really does connect us worldwide, human to human. And it's wonderful.
Betsy, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And we'll speak again soon, I hope.
I hope so, too. This has been great, Griff. Thank you so much for having me on.
We've been speaking with eBetsy, otherwise known as Betsy Bolger. She and her husband, John, sell on eBay under the user IDs Monjot and eBetsy, and we'll put the links to those in our transcript. Next week, we'll have another seller story to share with you from our 25 Seller Stories for 25 Years of eBay miniseries. 2 weeks ago, we announced a contest to commemorate the podcast's 100th episode.
That's right. We asked for you to send in your favorite moment from any past podcast. We suggested it could be a favorite tip, guest, or entire segment that helped you with your eBay selling.
We said that the first 10 submissions, based on either date or timestamp to either our call-in number at 888-723-4630.
Or our email address, podcast@ebay.com.
Either of those, the first 10 would receive a collection of eBay for Business podcast swag.
Our 100th episode was last week, but that left very little time for submissions.
Right. In fact, by the time we were ready to record the 100th episode, we had two submissions.
So we decided to extend the deadline for submissions until Thursday, July 24th.
And we received well over 10 submissions. So that, thank you.
Yeah, thank you to everyone who sent in an email or called in on the voice line.
So let's begin. Our first winner is Mary Alonzak from my old hometown of Rutland in the brave little state of Vermont. Mary wrote, "Hi, Griff. Episode 98 was my favorite. The traffic information really helped me understand what this information means. I really look forward to the podcast and have learned so much. In addition, it helps me feel connected to eBay. Thanks so much, Mary Lonzak, Liberty Hill Trading, Rutland, Vermont."
You know, I've been to Rutland, and that is a beautiful area.
Yeah, I used to live there. I still have a house there.
So our second winner was Andrew Martin, whose eBay store is discountcards_freeextras. Andrew sent in a sound file with his submission.
Hello, eBay for Business podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm a seller based out here in Japan. I'd like to repeat some great advice I heard from the podcast a little while ago. And that advice is using eBay's search bar, but also using Terapeak to research more sourceable products. I use the search bar to see what other sellers here are selling. For me, it's as easy as typing in Japan and just scrolling down to find the sellers that are based locally here and kind of going through their store and seeing what they're selling. Kind of gives me an idea of what kind of items I can sell, what items fit into my selling criteria, basically something that's small, lightweight, and I don't have to worry about it being damaged during shipment. During the lockdown, I use my free time to kind of expand my store and research what items do fit into this criteria. So thanks for the podcast. I do enjoy listening to them while I pack up my sold items. And thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks, Andrew.
Our third winner was Lauren Lago. I believe that's her name. We're going to have to find out when we call her back. Anyway, Lauren called into our hotline. Here's what she had to say.
Hi, this is Lauren Lago 1 for eBay Seller. My store name is Lauren Designer Finds. My favorite podcast thus far was podcast number 95, when the woman spoke about social media. I'm actually on vacation now and formatting all my social media as I go on to make it as good as the woman was discussing about. And I plan to follow all her instructions, so it was really great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, Lauren, thanks again. I guess it was number 95. That episode was the one she liked. And we're not sure if she meant by the woman whether she was talking about Audrey Tracy or Kathy Terrell. We'll give both the credit.
That's great. Winner number 4 is Stephen Griffin, and he wrote in to say, "One of my enjoyable moments is episode 85 when you had the guys from Pure Hustle Podcast Orlando and Mike on. They gave some great insights and experiences. I listened to a few selling podcasts, and I'm glad to hear others sharing their experience and advice. It makes me feel like I'm not alone in this adventure. eBay ID, The Biscuit Farmer. Thanks for all you do, Stephen Griffin." Thanks, Stephen. And we're so glad to know that the podcast helps you feel connected to other sellers. Because, Griff, that's really why we're here, isn't it?
It's absolutely why we're here. Congratulations for the 4th place winner. And now in 5th place, Alex O, who wrote in, "Hi, my name is Alex, and I found great information in episode 46 about Terapeak. Also, Mike and Orlando from Pure Hustle Podcast. They're great. Terapeak is an awesome tool, and this episode is a recommended listen for any seller. Thanks for all the eBay updates and information." Well, you're welcome, Alex. Thanks for writing in.
We may have to persuade Pure Hustle to come on back. What do you think?
I don't think that will be hard. They'll jump on the chance.
That's great. All right, on to winner number 6, who called into our hotline.
My name's Hillary. My store on eBay is Wild About Orange. I dabbled last year in selling, and then this year started going part-time and then hoping to make it full-time. So what I think is fabulous about the podcast is that, well, one, you guys are great, but you have eBay staff employees giving us information directly from the horse, so to speak.
In lucky number 7th spot, Wilma Dibbs sent us the following email. "My favorite podcast, by the way, they're all great," she says, "is when you talk to Mike and Orlando from Pure Hustle Podcast." Okay, I can see a theme here. "This is my favorite because I listened to them since their first podcast. They are local to me. They are in San Diego, and I'm about a half-hour drive from them. I wanted to let you know it's not just one podcast. It's all the pieces to the podcast and the multiple topics you cover. Thank you for all you do, and congratulations on your 100th podcast, Wilma Dibbs, eBay store Dusty and Stormy." Thank you, Wilma.
And at number 8, we have Sarah Planelp, who wrote, "Hello. My favorite podcast was about 2 years ago, episode 2, when it was mentioned that the song Kiki, Do You Love Me was being parodied as eBay, Do You Love Me. My daughter, who was 9 at the time, overheard this on your podcast and wanted to do an eBay Do You Love Me video. I'm not hip enough to know how to make music videos, but I went along and helped as I could. My 9-year-old made a Frozen and Kiki mix where she said, do you want to go camping? And I said, not right now, I'm on eBay. And then switched to Kiki's song and sings, eBay, do you love me? If you love me, you would kick my mom off eBay. She's always packaging and shipping. And then I finally say, we can go camping. But then I notice I have another sale. Griff, I am loving this.
I know.
I am loving this. It's a 9-year-old novice video made, but it's as cute as it can be. And I enjoyed spending all the time with my daughter doing something she made up and created, all because of the idea she got when stuck in the car listening to mom's boring podcast. Thank you for the great memories you started with my daughter. And if you see the video, please note, I did take her camping. Keep the podcast coming. Sarah Planalp, eBay's name, Cast Aside Beauty. Griff, this is amazing. I'm just delighted by it. And listeners, we will include a link to Sarah's daughter's YouTube video in our transcript.
You get a chance to watch. It's actually pretty cute. This was a huge contest, Rebecca, back before you started at eBay, that the seller marketing team came up with for social media. And it went viral and lots of people were doing it. But we'll put that one up. Winner number 9 sent us the following email. It's very short. I liked the entire episode 21 podcast, as this was when I first decided to open a store and was doing research. What an eye-opener. Thank you for the hard work, Jackie Glenner. And what episode 21 is, we had some eBay execs and vice presidents coming on giving a wrap-up for the year 2018, and they were reading some seller tips. So that was a big end-of-the-year episode.
And finally, last but definitely not least, at number 10, Marla of Leather Books wrote, hi, Griff. I found podcast 95 very useful because I need to start concentrating on social media platforms to helping drive eyeballs to my eBay store. Kathy had a lot of great advice. And on her website, she has a free download titled Essential Social Media Cheat Sheet.
Oh, and by the way, I want to mention that Marla is talking about Kathy Terrell, who was a guest on a recent episode that we were talking about the topic social media. We got a lot of great positive response to that one. So congratulations to all 10 of you. Thank you to our top 10 winners.
We had a flurry of submissions that came in the last few days of the contest. And although they didn't make it into the top 10 slots, you know what, Griff? We are going to send everyone an eBay for podcast mug as an honorable mention.
That's a great idea, because we did get some great submissions after the 10. And of course, what we'll do is we'll read their emails or play their voice messages on future episodes. And we'll also have more seller questions that we've received in the last 2 weeks.
If you want to join the fun right here on eBay for Business, call us on the line at 888-723-4630.
I'll repeat, 888-723-4630. And the best part is you can call that hotline any time of the day or any day of the week. Just leave a question or comment about selling on eBay or running your business on eBay, and we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone kind of person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Well, that's about it. But before we go, we can't forget our daily podcast to-do list.
First, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Go visit the community pages. And remember, this will be one of the last times I think I'm going to get to say this, is if you were invited to join Managed Payment, the transition is mandatory. So you have to get ready and make sure that you follow the instructions.
And of course, check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard, including that YouTube video.
Yeah.
And see the links that we referenced during the episode.
Now, on our next episode, 102, we'll explore our theme of seller success and using the new eBay multi-user access tool to help give you some time off. And we'll also meet with the next seller in our 25 seller story projects.
Plus your questions.
Yeah, that's right. We have a lot of them saved up and ready to go for episode 102. So stay tuned.
And of course, we'd like to thank again our guest this week, Senior Manager of Communications, Melissa Ojeda, and eBay seller, Betsy Bolger, a.k.a. eBetsy.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.